Blue Wire.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of The Rebuild. I'm Henry Ettinger, joined by a very special guest today to preview week one. We will be previewing every game this entire season, just like we did last season. But this guest is somebody that has not appeared on the podcast before. We've got Ron Kopp Jr. on the podcast, the lead analyst from Arrowhead Pride, to break down Browns Chiefs. Ron, how you doing ahead of week one of the NFL season?
Whew, man, I cannot wait. I cannot wait for full stadiums. Cannot wait for a full Arrowhead. I'll actually be there. One of the few games I'll be able to make it to this year. So I'm excited, man. Real football is back. Let's get into it.
It's exciting. That's for sure. I love the offseason. I love the preseason, going through all the, you know, the storylines. But I was just saying to my roommate today, man, I can't wait to be back on that couch Sunday, locked in for, you know, a good 10 hours. It's a whole different ball game. So that'll be a welcome feeling. But before we get to that, I want to take a quick second and rewind, because although it was not the last game the Chiefs played, the last game the Browns played was against the Chiefs. 22-17 loss, of course, in that thriller of a game where the Chiefs went up, Patrick Mahomes went out, and then they were able to hang on at the end with Chad Henne. Now, I think for Browns fans, that game was one where there was certainly some regret in the end. I think both in terms of how they played in the first half on the defensive side of the football, I think there was also, there was definitely some anger about the Rashard Higgins play at the goal line, as well as that potential momentum changing play. And then ultimately, again, I would say a feeling of regret at the end of the game, not being able to get the ball back, you know, when Chad Henne was obviously leading things for the Chiefs. So I think Browns fans were, you know, optimistic, I think, about, you know, how that game went and ultimately having a chance there at the end. But as a Chiefs, you know, insider or someone covering the team, how do you think the Chiefs fans viewed that game from last season? Were they worried about it at the end? Do you think they had kind of the utmost confidence all the way through? Give me a sense of how the fans felt about that game.
Oh, man. I mean, how can you feel super confident when you're, you know, your starting quarterback, the guy that's really just made you who you are right now as a team, as a championship contender, goes out, especially the way he went out? I think there was a dark cloud over the second half of that game. I think a lot of people weren't even worried necessarily about the game. Obviously, a playoff game, you know, you want to win it and everything. But it was just a weird feeling watching, you know, a backup quarterback, play in a playoff game and still lead the team to victory. So it was kind of a bittersweet thing. I don't know, because I don't think a lot of us thought or were very confident that Mahomes would be ready for the AFC Championship the week following. And so there was just this weird feeling with that win. But it was fun to see Henne pull that out, win it at the end, scrambles for 14 yards or whatever on 3rd and 14. And then Andy has the balls to run that fourth down play when it looked like they weren't going to run a play. It was a fun ending for sure. Just this weird feeling not seeing Mahomes in there and not knowing what's going to happen with him. So it's kind of a game I think as Chiefs fans, we've kind of almost forgotten about a little bit. I don't want to say forgotten, but just, It was just such a weird ending without Mahomes in there. I think a lot of us just kind of moved on from it, or just don't think of it as like one of these tremendous playoff wins like the other games maybe in the Mahomes era. So it was a weird game for sure. It was a very weird win in that respect.
That makes sense. I think, you know, it's one of those things where they obviously came out and things, you know, went very well for the Chiefs early on, but then Henne was kind of a disaster at points, really, really throwing the ball up to, you know, for interception and all of that. So I could see how that game could kind of the actual proceedings of the game could be lost based on kind of what was happening off the field in terms of worrying about Mahomes. But, you know, obviously the Chiefs were able to not only advance past the Browns, but then past the Bills before falling to the Bucks in the Super Bowl. And it's no secret the offensive line was a challenge in that Super Bowl. And that's pretty much all that the talk has been about as far as the Chiefs this offseason, about how they've gone and addressed that offensive line, right? They picked up Orlando Brown Jr. as part of a trade with the Ravens. There's been some draft picks, some other free agent signings. That's been the key offseason storyline. In your estimation, is that, you know, worth all of the attention it's received, number one? And is there anything else about the Chiefs offseason that maybe has been overlooked by the mainstream media as far as potential additions or subtractions headed into this season?
Yeah, well, first of all, I do think the offensive line additions, the improvement is definitely not, it shouldn't be undersold. I think when you saw this team, even before the Super Bowl, I think the offensive line throughout the season, just so many injuries happened. LDT, our starting right guard, opts out for the season before the season even begins. The offensive line was just kind of a mess the entire year. You have your bookend tackles in Fisher and Schwartz, but you lose Schwartz week five. Fisher, obviously, in the AFC Championship. But just the fact that they did get two stalwarts in terms of Orlando Brown and Joe Tooney, guys that you can rely on the left side, that's huge. And I know the rookies are the guys starting on the right side and at center too, Creed Humphrey, Trey Smith, and Lucas Niang. When you hear three rookies starting on your offensive line, obviously as a general fan, it's like, ooh, I don't know how I feel about that. Especially, Trey Smith on the surface level is a sixth round pick. And so you're thinking, oh, wow, they're kind of just throwing guys out there. But they earned those jobs over some legitimate players. I mean, Creed Humphrey beat out Austin Blythe, who's been a starter in this league before, for the Rams. Trey Smith beat out LDT, who I just mentioned has been the Chiefs starting right guard in the long term for a few years now, for a handful of years. And Niang, the right tackle, he beat out Mike Remmers, who actually did have some back injuries in training camp that kind of allowed Niang to get the opportunity. Remmers actually was the original starting right tackle, but it kind of seemed like Niang was always going to win it. He's looked pretty good in the preseason so far. So around here, we don't really look at them as just like any other rookie, I would say. And Niang, I should mention, is not technically – well, he is technically a rookie, but he opted out of the 2020 season. So he was drafted actually in the 2020 draft in the third round. So, yeah, I think – but it should not be undersold how much improved the offensive line should be this year. When you talk about a guy like Austin Ryder, who was the Chiefs starting center last year, man, he hasn't even been signed yet. And that's, that's a guy that I think a lot of players thought, or, a lot of people thought, oh yeah, no, he's the Chiefs starting center. He'll get a good contract elsewhere or, end back up in Kansas City. But that kind of shows you, that's just one example. It kind of shows you how bad the offensive line was at times last year. And Mahomes covers it up a lot too. I think Mahomes' play style and everything, he covers up deficiencies in the offensive line. So it's not as glaring as it could be, but I really think the offensive line has improved enough to where it might be the best offensive line in the Mahomes era. And right now we're feeling good about that, but hey, it is three rookies. We've only seen them in the preseason and going into week one, I know we're not there yet, but just saying, it's going to be a tough test for them. And that's one thing we're all kind of looking forward to, see how they do against real competition, especially guys like the Cleveland has on that side of the ball.
Well, let's go there now. You brought it up. There's the three rookies, the two veterans, but new guys as far as coming to the Chiefs, right, in Tooney and Brown. So the Chiefs made a decision that not a lot of teams, I would say, are making these days, which was to play a lot of their guys in the preseason. They went out there, they got some reps, but you're talking about an entirely new offensive line, a position where chemistry – we all know it is essential in order for the line to function properly. So what are your expectations for that line going into week one? Because the Browns D line, everybody expects to be, a pretty forceful unit. And it's going to ask a lot of these guys in their very first game, to go up against the Browns, I would think.
Oh, absolutely. It's going to be a very worthwhile challenge. It's going to be a challenge that is going to really, it's going to show a lot about these new offensive linemen. I mean, I'll start at right tackle with Niang. I know Myles Garrett kind of moves on both sides of the ball. He's over the left tackle and the right tackle at times, but if the Browns are smart, I think they should kind of keep him over the right tackle as much as possible. Niang's first NFL experience is going to be against a guy that, in my opinion, should probably be, the favorite for defensive player of the year if you're talking besides maybe Aaron Donald. But Garrett is going to give him problems, and I think that's why you're going to see a lot of, the Chiefs use their second tight end, Blake Bell, on that side to kind of help chip so Niang's just not on an island with Garrett. And what that does is that takes away, a receiver from the offense for Mahomes to throw to if Bell is just standing in there chipping all the time and not really, utilizing him as a receiver. So that's the one thing I'm really, concerned about, I guess, as a Chiefs cover or Chiefs fan is, that right side with Niang going against Myles Garrett. But even like a Trey Smith going against guys that you guys have, like a Malik Jackson or Andrew Billings, some big dudes, But even the depth you guys have too, Jordan Elliott and Malik McDowell. I know McDowell's kind of had a bounce back little offseason with you guys. He's looked pretty good in the preseason. Trey Smith is kind of a highlight reel blocker, it seems like, in terms of like, and he, if he gets his hands on you and he drives you and he's going to look good sometimes, just, you know, maybe pancaking you. He talked about how violent he is, but he has been pretty inconsistent in terms of just every down to down, you know, staying on his feet, you know, being a solid player. There's going to be some times where a guy, you know, a veteran like Malik Jackson might give him the business and, make him look a little silly in his first start as well. So, and then Creed Humphrey, I think, has been a solid center, but, you know, he's still a rookie. I do think there is some concerns for sure about this Browns offensive line against the right side of the Chiefs defense or offensive line as well. Yeah, I could see for sure some troubles on that side. And like I said, if I'm the Browns, I'm putting Garrett over Niang most of the time. I know Orlando Brown does have some room to go as a pass blocker. I don't think that's his best aspect. I think he's a better run blocker. But, you know, he still stands a better chance than Niang does against Garrett. So if the Browns put Garrett on Niang all game, there's going to be some times where that looks really bad on the Chiefs offense. So I think that's the biggest thing right now is just Myles Garrett and some of those interior defensive line against these rookie linemen.
Garrett's, of course, always going to be the highlight when you talk about the Browns defense. He's obviously a special player. And so I think you're right as far as the matchup. And Malik Jackson, that's an interesting guy to bring up too. A guy that, you know, Browns fans, I think, are really excited to fill the shoes of Sheldon Richardson, but also a guy we haven't seen a ton of in terms of the preseason and making tons of impact so far. But that's because, you know, obviously as a veteran, kind of waiting for the regular season on that front. The guy I would actually circle on that defensive line is Jadeveon Clowney. I am fascinated to see what he brings to the table for this Browns unit, because as you mentioned, I don't think there's going to be a lot of times where Garrett's getting a one-on-one matchup. That's just my hunch. And we've seen that play out over the last couple of years. You know, last year, I think he was third in the league in terms of double teams that he saw. So right up there at the very top of the league. And so I think the guy that's going to get a lot of those one-on-one matchups is Clowney. And Clowney's been productive at times in the last couple of years of his career, but he's also had games where he's disappeared. And if the Browns are going to beat the Chiefs, not in groundbreaking analysis by any means, but it has to be through the pressure, right? Because if Mahomes is allowed to sit back there, he's going to dice up every secondary in the league. And not to mention the fact that the Browns, as we'll get to, are breaking in a lot of new defensive starters back there. So to me, the way they stop these guys is to get pressure on Mahomes. And even in the limited times, they really didn't stop the Chiefs very much at all in the last matchup when Mahomes was on the field. But when they did, it was that pressure on the quarterback. So to me, that's going to be the ultimate matchup if the Browns are going to have any success on that side of the football.
Yes, and we've seen it with Mahomes. When he doesn't trust his offensive line or he starts to feel that pressure, that is the one place where he struggled with pocket presence at times, where he tries to escape out of the back of the pocket, maybe even when the pocket's not as messy as it needs to be for him to escape. I think sometimes he just gets a little hesitant with his offensive line, especially when it's banged up like it has been in the past. And I think he's still, this is his first game with this offensive line. He's obviously played in the preseason, but I think that's part of it too. I think he just needs to be more comfortable with the offensive line at times for him to really feel good about stepping up into the pocket and staying in there, staying tight in there. Yeah. If they start getting a little pressure, penetrating the pocket quite a bit, that's when Mahomes kind of starts getting happy feet, thinking he can make plays with his feet and, you know, kind of scramble around and do whatever he can. The thing is, you know, that works a lot when you are Mahomes, because not every quarterback can do what he can when he's on the move and everything, but it's still not the most efficient way to play football. And when you have a talented defense like the Browns does, you want to stay within the offense as much as you can and don't try to make those kind of plays when you don't have to. So, yeah, I'm totally with you. If the Browns start penetrating the pocket, it might mess with Mahomes' pocket presence, his kind of just what he thinks about the pocket and his comfortability in there. And that's when the offense can get out of rhythm and Mahomes might try to do too much. And, yeah, sometimes that's going to end up, not good for the Chiefs. We've seen it. And we saw it this preseason too, actually. I will say the Cardinals game, it was a week two game. We kind of saw some iffy pocket presence by him. It improved in week three, but I still think there's that chance that if the pocket really doesn't feel good to him or there's penetration coming, it's going to really affect his game and he's going to make plays with his feet, which like I said, he can, but it's not ideal in this situation. You definitely want to try to stay within the rhythm of the offense.
That was actually a bet I made in the Browns Chiefs game last year was Mahomes rushing yards, because he did make a lot of plays with his feet at times during the season last year. But let's take the opposite approach, Ron. What gives you confidence about this Chiefs offense, you know, besides the obvious going against this Browns defense? Because look, for the most part, obviously this has been a successful offense. And if you look last year, as I've brought up before, it wasn't as though the Browns had a lot of answers. Basically, the Chiefs scored on every drive except for a missed field goal when Mahomes was in the game. So what gives you confidence about the Chiefs offense going into week one?
Yeah, the thing is, we've seen this Chiefs team in September. They're unbeatable, actually, in terms of Mahomes' career. They haven't lost a game in September. They've been 4-0 the past three or four seasons, if not maybe even a fifth season, if I'm remembering correctly. They come out of the gates hot. They always do. Andy Reid knows how to game plan. He's got these games planned up all off season, and they know what they're doing. They know what they're attacking. And that's the one thing, when I mentioned the offensive line, the you know, maybe the scares there, Andy Reid's going to protect them. He knows how to call his plays to where, you know, he's not going to put them out to dry. He's not going to go a bunch of seven-step drops with no help, you know, and letting the pass rushers get plenty of time to get back there. He's going to do a lot of play calls where, you know, maybe quick passes or just RPOs where, you know, they're kind of putting the defense in a bind. And I trust Andy Reid to definitely, you know, keep his offensive line, you know, kind of safe and you know, secure from having to deal with those one-on-ones. So that's the one thing. I think Andy Reid's just going to have a great game plan. I do think these receivers, the Chiefs receivers, you know, against the Cleveland secondary, Cleveland's got a pretty talented secondary, but Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce still look as good as ever. Tyreek Hill has actually looked, you know, spectacular this preseason. I know it's, you know, just offseason preseason, but him and Mahomes have been, you know, just so on the money, so on the same page, you know, in training camp and preseason. I do think Tyreek Hill is poised for a really big year, and it's going to start in week one. But I think that's where my confidence is for sure. Is this Chiefs passing game with Andy Reid calling the plays still is going to have a lot of explosive plays, even if the offensive line does struggle a little bit with dealing with that pass rush. I think Andy Reid's going to set them up to not have to, you know, be in bad positions too much.
Hill gave the Browns fits last year. There's no doubt. I think he had 110 receiving yards in that game against the Browns last season. I do think the Browns have made some pretty significant additions back there that are going to help them against Tyreek Hill. You know, John Johnson will be back there. I think one of the best cover safeties in the league that will hopefully make a difference, in as well as their overall depth. So hopefully they won't have to rely so much on some DBs that, frankly, I don't think belonged on the field against the Chiefs, but were forced into action due to some of the Browns' injuries and just overall depth concerns in the back half of the defense. So I will say that is the one part where if the Browns, I think, can change from the matchup the most last season, is I do think they've got some answers for Tyreek Hill. I'm not sure how many answers they have for Travis Kelce. I'm not sure how many answers they might have for the passing game out of the backfield, which also gave them issues at times last year. But I do think that secondary, that's where I see some potential for the Browns to make this closer than people think, is I do think they're going to have some guys that are ready to hang back there with John Johnson and then with Greg Newsome, the rookie, too.
Yeah, and I saw that Greg Newsome won the starting job, it looks like. So good for him, first-round cornerback. I have a little stat, actually, that I found interesting doing a little research for this game preview. Six out of the seven top defensive Brown snap getters from that game are not on the team this year. So that's a big chunk of your, you know, a big part of that defense isn't even there anymore. And I think everyone kind of recognizes that, you know, as much as the Browns offense has a lot of continuity, the Browns defense is a whole different story all of a sudden. You know, obviously their good players are still there, but then they added a lot of nice pieces too, including, like you mentioned, John Johnson. I do think he'll make a difference from what they had last year. Yeah. And the other part, as a Chiefs fan, you know, we're all acknowledging that, you know, it's Tyreek, Travis, and then it's really it's a kind of a receiver by committee after that, and not in a good way. There's no reason to be super confident in the talent they have behind Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce right now. We've all been hoping for Mecole Hardman to take that step, and he still could in his third season. There's no doubt about it. But so far this training camp and preseason, there hasn't been enough or a lot to give us confidence that it'll happen this year. We've already seen a lot of miscommunication between them, specifically in the preseason week two game against the Cardinals. There's about three instances where after the play, the camera cuts to Mahomes and he's pretty upset with Mecole after an incompletion. And that's actually happened quite a bit over his first 2 years of his career. And it's something that we need to see corrected. And it just, that preseason game just makes me think, maybe it hasn't been corrected yet. And I know it's still preseason, so we'll see how it goes. But yeah, you know, guys like DeMarcus Robinson and Byron Pringle are solid receivers, but they're not world beaters. They're not guys that are going to, you know, break off a guy in a route or anything. They're just guys that'll make a catch when they have to. But yeah, if the Browns are able to limit Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill to an extent, there is reason to be, pessimistic about the rest of the Chiefs receiving core going against this Browns defense. I know Clyde Edwards-Helaire will be a bigger part of the passing game this year, but, you know, in terms of the other receivers, the other, wide receivers and tight ends, there's not a lot of confidence in the guys behind Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill right now.
Yeah, I do think that is an area of concern with the Chiefs with no more Watkins there. I do, however, think that Travis Kelce is still going to have his way with these Browns linebackers. You mentioned a lot of the top snap getters from the Browns are not back this season, and that is true. However, the Browns didn't make a ton of changes to the linebacking core, at least as far as the starters for this game. Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah was their second-round draft pick. A lot of people expect him to see the field, but right now he's listed, secondarily on the depth chart. So I don't love the matchups there. If they are going to have linebackers matched up with Kelce in space at all, or as you mentioned, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I am still a believer in him. And I think for as much as people are saying, hey, the reason this Chiefs offense might take a step back would be that second receiver, I think the reason they still take a step forward is twofold. Number one, the offensive line, which we've already talked about. But number two is Clyde Edwards-Helaire too. I mean, he banged up with injuries last year. He got a ton of hype in the fantasy space as well, which I always think like hurts rookies if they don't quite live up to it. But I'm still a believer in his ability to perform. And I would say as a Browns fan too, that is the area where I think he could really burn the Browns in addition to Kelce.
Yeah, and Clyde didn't play in that playoff game last year. He was injured. He was still coming back from that week 15 injury he suffered. And yeah, he's fully healthy now. I do think last year we didn't see enough of him as a receiver. And I think, a big reason was just the fact that there was a COVID offseason. There just wasn't time for him to get adjusted as a rookie, getting into Andy Reid's offense, which is a very complicated system. And we hear it all the time that it takes a while for players to get fully into that offense and really understand it. And so, yeah, I do think he's going to be a way bigger part of the offensive receiving game this year. I think we're going to see a lot more screens this year. Last year, the Chiefs actually ran, fewer screens than a typical Andy Reid team by a lot. And it was actually, statistically, it was very, a very big margin from, what we typically see from an Andy Reid team and last year's team. We just didn't see a lot of screens. And I think it was just because they didn't trust the offensive line. But I think they will trust the offensive line enough this year to utilize those screens a lot more this year. Clyde is really good, in open field with the ball in his hands. He's hard to tackle. Yeah, I do think that's a good point. And I do think if they focus so much on Travis and Tyreek, that will give Clyde a lot of opportunities to make hay in the receiving game. And yeah, I think he could definitely be a big part of the offense right away. Yeah, I think the passing game will be a lot more focused on Clyde this year than it was last year. And that was big reason why they picked him in the first round was how good of a receiver he was coming out of LSU. That was a big reason why. And so I do think we see that uptick a lot this year where we see Clyde getting the ball through the passing game a lot more.
And the Browns were right at the bottom of the league in terms of covering running backs out of the backfield last season. I have an image seared into my mind. You're right that he didn't play, but Darrell Williams played, and he got in space against B.J. Goodson, who's no longer with the Browns. The first down before the one that the Chiefs got on fourth down to seal the game, there was another play where Goodson was in space. He got beat for the first down before that, and that's a play that probably not a lot of fans or analysts will remember, but it's one that stuck out to me where it's just like, man, B.J. Goodson just couldn't get out there to cover him. So that problem won't necessarily exist, but I do think the running back problem will persist for the Browns this season.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Ron, yeah. Let's flip to the other side of the football. I want to get some of your takes about this Chiefs defense as well and how they match up with the Browns offense. But before we get to that, I first got to ask kind of the latest for our listeners who may not be following the Chiefs situation as closely in terms of availability for a few key Chiefs players. The first one is Frank Clark. For those who haven't seen or perhaps have forgotten, in March, Clark got into a bit of legal trouble where he's facing a felony charge of possession of an assault weapon, but it seems like the NFL has not placed him on the commissioner's exempt list. So, number one, is Clark going to be available for week one?
Yeah, he should be. He's actually the thing that might hold him out is this hamstring injury he's been dealing with in the preseason. He's actually been a limited participant in the first practice, official practice of the week. But yeah, you know, it is weird. We kind of all thought that maybe something would go down, maybe he'd miss the first few games, but it sure seems like that legal action is kind of pushed off to the side for now. Maybe it's just, you know, the hearings or whatever haven't happened yet. And so we've kind of all come to the conclusion that we may not see a suspension for Clark until later in the season, if not next year. You know how these courts sometimes go. Sometimes it gets so delayed. You don't really get a verdict or anything, and maybe the NFL is just waiting on all that. So, yeah, I don't think Clark's availability will, be impacted by that necessarily. But he is dealing with a hamstring issue that held him out of all three preseason games. You know, obviously precautionary a little bit, but it's still messing with him enough to be a limited participant in this week's practice. So that is one area where, you know, if Clark's not 100%, that's going to be trouble for the Chiefs defense for sure.
Well, and another key player for the Chiefs, too, is Tyrann Mathieu, of course, the Honey Badger, and he's on the COVID list still. It seems like he's going to, you know, likely to clear in time for this game. I think Andy Reid mentioned in a press conference he's already got one negative test, but he's still not on the field either. Ron, to the best of your knowledge, do you see any limitations for Mathieu, even if he is cleared, you know, with the conditioning or anything else like that?
Well, yeah, that's always a concern, right? I think that's and I think you guys know that, especially I think last year, if I remember correctly, Myles Garrett was on a tear at the beginning of the year, had a COVID scare, I believe, missed a few games because of it. And then he just didn't seem to be as dominant maybe when he came back. And if I remember correctly, there were some speculation or maybe just reports that, you know, that did impact him, in terms of conditioning, all that. So, yeah, that's always a concern. It is a little concerning. He's still not off the list by now. That means he's had some positive tests, you know, after he was, said he was positive. I think it was, early last week. So it's been a week where apparently he's had some positive tests. So that means he's been dealing with it. And yeah, it's definitely a concern for sure. Andy Reid made it sound like he'll be back and Tyron's the kind of guy he probably doesn't need practice necessarily. But yeah, the conditioning part is definitely a thing that, there's reason to be concerned about it. And if there is, for some reason, he doesn't make it, that is a huge blow to the defense. And it's going to really open up the Chiefs secondary to be exposed, honestly.
Yeah. For a reminder for the folks listening out there, Mathieu is vaccinated. So it sounds like he'll have to produce two negative tests 24 hours apart in order to be cleared. So still plenty of time for that to happen ahead of Sunday. But as you mentioned, obviously a massive, massive factor on the defensive side of the football for the Chiefs. So let's talk about that side of the football a little bit more. The Chiefs defense for the last couple of years, it's been a lot of, hey, they have to be good enough. And they were. In order to get to the Super Bowl last year, they've got some high-level talent, not only with Clark and Mathieu, but also, of course, with Chris Jones. But what's different about this Chiefs defense from last season when the Browns last faced the Chiefs?
Well, yeah, there is a pretty big difference to me, and that is the defensive line. There, you know, it's a lot of the same faces. You know, Chris Jones obviously is the best player on the unit, but they actually have him playing defensive end on early downs now, and it seems like it's just going to be early downs. It seems on third down he's still going to be inside, you know, where he's made his money as an elite pass rusher from the interior. But I think that it is an interesting wrinkle to have him on the outside. He's so much bigger and more explosive, or not maybe explosive, but just lengthier than most defensive ends in the NFL. And I do think that's going to give some offensive tackles some problems trying to deal with his length, with his size. I mean, he's over 300 pounds, and you don't see a lot of defensive ends at that size that can move like he does. So I do think that's going to be an interesting wrinkle to the Chiefs defense. But also the addition of Jaron Reed, the former Seattle Seahawk, I think he's going to have a big role on this team, and his addition was actually a lot of the reason why Jones was able to move to the outside in more of a full-time capacity. They've had him at defensive end a few, you know, here and there in the past, but he's been practicing at defensive end. They list him as a defensive end. I mean, he is mainly defensive end now, and Jaron Reed, on the interior he's been a good pass rusher in this league from there. And besides Reed on the interior, I actually think Tershawn Wharton, who was an undrafted free agent last year, was one of the most effective pass rushers in terms of pass rush win rate on the team last year. And you can see it, man. He is very quick. He is very hard to deal with. I do think an offensive line like the Browns is going to have a little easier time dealing with him than maybe other offensive lines, other guards. But yeah, I think the Chiefs defensive line is something that has really improved and is kind of going under the radar. And it's just because of an addition like Jaron Reed, but also the improvement of guys like Tershawn Wharton, like I said, was a rookie last year and looked really good, and he's looking even better this year. Also, defensive end Mike Dana was a rookie last year, played really good snaps, and is on pace to have a bigger role this year. I think the Chiefs' defensive line is going to be a lot stronger than it was last year. And I know that's, you know, it's almost counterintuitive to say that when they're going against such a good offensive line in the Browns, but I do think it'll help, the linebackers right now, who I can get into. They're missing one of their best linebacker, potentially Willie Gay. He actually went on the IR with a turf toe injury. And so I think the defensive line is going to really have to step up and help their linebackers not, you know, get in too many bad situations against a really effective Browns run offense.
Do you suspect that difference in the defensive line will result in potentially some schematic differences from Steve Spagnuolo? He's known as a guy that blitzes a ton. I think the Chiefs were fifth last year in terms of blitz rate, fourth the year before, if I'm remembering correctly off the top of my head here. And they blitzed the Browns quite a bit. That's something that I saw is a key, you know, factor coming into this game. But do you think potentially he'll dial it back a bit if the defensive line is more of the strength, and it might, you know, the linebackers and secondary might require more bodies in order to be successful?
Yeah, no, it's a good point. And Spags does love the blitz, and I think we'll still see a lot of that. I think one guy that they used in that Browns game last year that they'll continue to use as a blitzer from the second level is L'Jarius Sneed from the slot corner. Man, he plays almost like an outside linebacker at times, the way he's strong. You know, he's really strong against blocks. He's really strong against the run, and he gets in there as a blitzer and really, you know, he doesn't miss a lot of opportunities when he gets in there. He finishes the tackle a lot, and he's going into his second year. He's only going to get better. But yeah, I do think one factor in them maybe not doing as many blitzes as we've seen in the past is, like I mentioned with Willie Gay. Willie Gay is a guy that is going to be a very effective blitzer when he's healthy, because he's so fast, because he's so explosive, and kind of a hard-nosed kind of guy coming downhill. If he's not playing, you know, it kind of limits what they can do blitzing from linebackers, because they're not going to be sending guys like Ben Neiman and Anthony Hitchens on blitzes a lot. The rookie Nick Bolton could probably be a good blitzer as well, but he's a rookie and he's playing in his first game. And I do think there's going to be some rookie struggles with him for sure. I think he's a good run defender, but in terms of everything else, I think, you know, we've already seen a little bit of, you know, some little lapses as a rookie in the preseason that, you know, may suggest that he's not necessarily ready to be a full-time starter right away. And so, yeah, I really think they're going to have to rely on the defensive line to get pressure in this game. And if they can't, they'll start blitzing. But I think that's really going to, you know, help the Browns offense to blitz more, because this offensive line that you guys have has the ability to pick up blitzes well and has the ability to stifle defensive linemen well, to where if you do send a blitz and it doesn't get home, it is going to create a lot of open holes in the secondary for guys like Odell and Jarvis Landry to find places to make catches and make big plays. So, yeah, I think that's the Willie Gay injury is really going to impact this defense right away. I really think it will.
to me, that is the key matchup from this game, is when the Chiefs blitz, are the Browns able to deal with it? Because that was the biggest improvement that Baker Mayfield made as a quarterback last season. If you look through the first 6 weeks, he was one of, if not the worst quarterback against the blitz. He ranked 35th according to PFF. He was first the rest of the season. So that was a massive adjustment. He was first in PFF's passing grade against the blitz. He led in adjusted completion percentage against the blitz after those first 6 weeks. So to me, that's the big push and pull from this game, is can Baker and that offensive line hold up if the Chiefs do start to bring extra guys? But you brought up Snead in as part of that secondary. What do you make of some of the changes the Chiefs have made in the back end as well, especially at the corner positions?
Yeah, they brought in two former first-round picks that they're really hoping can kind of rehabilitate their career here in Kansas City, and Mike Hughes and DeAndre Baker. Now, initially, it looks like Mike Hughes has won that third cornerback spot in nickel situations. When they're in base, it's still Ward and Snead on the outside, but Snead's going to be moved to the inside and play that slot position where he really excelled last year as a rookie. And Hughes is going to be on the outside now. And the cornerback, the Chiefs have gotten away with you know, subpar cornerback play in their last 2 years. They kind of always, and it's kind of a complaint around here, is they never want to invest heavy in the secondary in terms of the cornerbacks. Now, you know, with safety, obviously it's a different story, but Travarius Ward is a solid player, but no one special. And he he's not solidified to be a long-term starter here. You know, he's in his free agent year right now. So we'll see how that goes. I think Mike Hughes is played well, but we've seen him struggle in his early NFL career at times. He's made plays too, but I think the cornerback spot is always something they've kind of gotten away with because they can hide it by playing really well at the safety position behind them, kind of covering them up with guys like Tyrann Mathieu, Juan Thornhill when he's healthy. I think if Tyrann Mathieu is not playing this game or isn't at 100%, maybe, I think that exposes the cornerbacks a little more. And yeah, I think we'll see some struggles maybe, like if Odell's healthy, man. I don't know who's going to cover him very well, honestly. It's definitely not going to be Ward. Ward is a guy that likes to get his hands on people and uses his length and physicality to kind of, you know, maybe shut him down a little bit to an extent. Odell's not the kind of guy that you can just put your hands on, because if he gets past you and he's full healthy, obviously, he's a fast, quick guy that's really going to put you on skates and stuff. And Ward doesn't deal good with quick, fast guys like that. So yeah, this cornerback group is always, they've always gotten away with not playing, you know, not having great guys at that position, but they've gotten away with it. But and with a receiving core like the Browns, with two guys that are super quick guys that can really, you know, break off a route on you and kind of leave you in the dust real quick, and Jarvis Landry and Odell, that's kind of where this cornerback group can struggle. Snead is good at covering those kind of things, but he's only one cornerback, and I think opposing offenses this year are going to understand to attack the other guys besides Snead in the secondary.
Well, I think that's a million-dollar question in terms of this side of the ball, is if you're a Browns optimist, you've got Odell Beckham Jr. this year. You didn't have him in the playoff matchup last year, and there are plenty of plays that people who rewatch the game will point to and say, look, the Chiefs were not respecting the Browns down the field. The safeties came up. They got involved in the short and intermediate passing game. They got involved in the run game. They did not fear the Browns receivers beating what most people would say were subpar corners throughout the season last year. And despite that, the safeties from the Chiefs were not forced, you know, really to provide tons of extra help that people would have expected. So to me, that's the key matchup. If the Browns are going to have more success than they did last season against this Chiefs defense, number one, so the players around Baker have to play a little better. There were some key drops from Nick Chubb and some of the other guys on the Browns roster. But number two is Odell Beckham Jr. Can he come out firing off the torn ACL and cause the Chiefs to change the game plan that worked so well in the matchup last year?
Yeah, and I know Landry plays a lot in the slot, so I think we'll see Snead and Landry match up quite a bit. But that leaves Odell against the rest of the guys, and that is a point of concern for sure, like I mentioned with Ward and even a guy like Mike Hughes, who is kind of a physical player in his own right, even though he may be a little smaller stature. But he's not a guy that's going to be able to keep up really well with quicker, you know, more, you know, route running, you know, good route runners like Odell Beckham Jr. Yeah, no, that is the million-dollar question for sure, and it would have helped to have I mentioned him a few times now, but Willie Gay, man, he was supposed to be the team's best coverage linebacker this year. He made tons of plays in training camp, picked off Mahomes a couple times. He's looked really good. He's looked like the team's best linebacker, and not having him is going to be a real big deal, especially because when they do get in those dime personnel looks with one linebacker on the field, it's Ben Neiman, who if that name in Chiefs Kingdom is not a fun name to say around here, or someone we like to talk about, because he, as much as the Chiefs have had success with him as the dime linebacker the past couple of years, he himself has kind of been a liability at times. The dime defense at times is really where the defense is at its weakest, when it's in that personnel. And if the Browns are going to be passing, you know, it's, and they do force the Chiefs into dime personnel, that's where they could really take advantage of a guy like Neiman in the secondary, as well as like a Dan Sorensen, who is trusted to cover tight ends a lot. And I know the Browns don't have world beaters at tight ends, maybe, but they have a few good ones and guys that could definitely take advantage of Sorensen in a matchup. Yeah, I think the pass coverage will definitely be important on Sunday, and it's something that the Chiefs, without Willie Gay, without Tyrann Mathieu at 100%, or we'll see, hopefully he is back and everything, it is going to be a struggle for them. They're really going to have to rely on the front seven, the front four, to get some pressure on Baker and kind of limit how open windows he has to throw.
I think Sorensen is number one in terms of persona non grata in Cleveland after that Rashard Higgins-Sorensen collision at the goal line last season. But he will be tested in this game too, because not only do the Browns have some decent tight ends in Njoku and Hooper, they use them a lot. Kevin Stefanski loves 12 personnel. There's no doubt that is his bread and butter. The Browns love to run play action out of 12 personnel, get the tight ends involved in that game as well. So I think that will be a key test for the Chiefs too. So Ron, we've looked at the offensive side of the ball for the Chiefs and the defensive side of the ball for the Browns. We've done the flip side of that, but taking a step back, big picture here, how are you feeling about the Chiefs' chances in this game and against, you know, a Browns team that gave them a scare last year, but with some injury caveats, of course, to Mahomes?
Yeah, I default to, and I mentioned it a little earlier, but this Chiefs team under Andy Reid, and especially with Patrick Mahomes, they just seem to come out of the gate in the beginning of the season and really just look so comfortable. And I think that's props to the coaching staff and training camp. They really get them ready. They you hear it with new players every single season, that when they come in, Jaron Reed was the guy this year, they always are like, man, these training camps are way more different than they've ever had in their NFL careers. I do think there's something to that, and I do think that's why they come out so hot all the time. And actually, you know, I know, you know, it's only preseason, but I do think that week three performance they put up against the Vikings, who didn't play all their starters, but they looked really in rhythm they played the first two drives of that game and got out. So I think this offense is going to be ready to go. I think the defense with the injuries might have some struggles a little bit, especially against a really, you know, the Browns offense, you know, Stefanski should get a lot of credit too for how well he game plans as well. And they're going to be put in a lot of positions too. So I think it might be, you know, more of a shootout than anything, you know, more of a, you know, a high scoring battle. You know, with Andy Reid and Kevin Stefanski both running the offense as well. So I feel good about it. I do think it's going to be a close, high-scoring game, but I do feel good that the Chiefs will pull it out, especially because when you factor in, you know, a full crowd, Arrowhead Stadium, you know, the first time they have a full crowd in a while, you know, the players have already talked about it. You know, it's going to be an exciting time, and home field advantage is definitely back, and I do think it's something important to kind of figure in, especially the first week of the season, you know, having that home field advantage for sure.
The history aspect of it is hard to get over, right? I think Andy Reid is 18-2 in September as the Chiefs coach, and Patrick Mahomes is undefeated at 10-0. And then on the flip side of things, the Browns are the complete opposite in openers. They have won a whopping one season opener since returning in 1999. So that part does not play in the Browns' favor either. It's been quite a while, too, since that one occurred. So I think we're up to 20 straight losses. Maybe 19. It's not great. I try not to remind myself of that stat too much, which is why I didn't put it in the rundown. But the Browns' history is definitely not in their favor either. I do think that the Browns have made improvements from last season that will help them against the Chiefs in the long run. But it's tough, right? You've got two kind of competing factors. On the one hand, I think the big improvement the Chiefs made is to that offensive line, which they have played in preseason. So I think they're going to get a slight advantage over the Browns' defensive secondary improvements when those guys haven't really played together a lot in preseason so far. I was fine with the Browns not playing a lot of their guys in preseason to avoid the injury concerns, but I do think in a week one matchup that could hurt them slightly. And I think they're already the underdog. I actually bet on the Chiefs -4.5 about 5 months ago or so now when the line came out because of that Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes history and because I knew how many defensive starters were going to be changing for the Browns. I actually thought even more were going to change because I thought more of the linebackers would change than they have. So the line is now up to 6.5. The over-under, as you mentioned, is also quite high. It's 54.5, the highest of the weekend. So you mentioned you feel good about the Chiefs winning. Do you feel good about the Chiefs covering? And how about that over-under?
So definitely over. I think you got to hammer the over there. I really do think both offenses are going to have pretty good days. I think both defenses will have, I think the Browns defense will have times where, like I mentioned earlier, they'll take advantage of the rookie linemen that they'll be facing. But I think Andy Reid overpowers that and has a better game plan. So over, it's definitely going to hit over. I'm not confident, though, in the Chiefs covering the spread. I actually predicted a 4-point victory, on our podcast earlier this week. And I think that's going to be what it's about. I think Chiefs-Browns, I do think it's going to be a close game. I think it'll come down to the wire a little bit. I just think that Arrowhead Stadium factor is going to factor in a little bit, in terms of winning the game. But, yeah, no, I think the Browns will stick around. I actually have them finishing as the 2 seed this year in the AFC behind the Chiefs. I'm high on the Browns for sure. I just really think if it was any other time in the season, I think the Browns have a lot better chance. Midway through the season, maybe the Browns, their new starters are a lot more cohesive, know each other a little better. They get more into a rhythm. And I think if that was the case, I think it'd be, more of a toss up, but I just can't imagine the Chiefs not winning this game. I gotta imagine the Chiefs pull it out in their home opener. But yeah, I really think the Browns are going to be a team to deal with this year. I think they're going to be this year's Bills where they just go on a tear and really do, tear through the AFC besides the Chiefs. But yeah, I'm high on the Browns. I think this is going to be one of the best games of the year.
Well, that was going to be my last question was where do you have the Browns in the pecking order? You said you have them as the 2 seed. So do you see this as a preview of the AFC championship in several months' time?
It absolutely could be. It absolutely could be. You hope as a Browns fan probably that you could maybe edge out the Chiefs and get that home field advantage so you could have it in your backyard instead of an Arrowhead. But yeah, I think the AFC is going to be tough this year, but I think there's always a team that comes out and really, excels like the Bills did last year. And I think it's going to be the Browns. I think the Bills are actually going to drop off a little bit. I actually think the Patriots might challenge them for the AFC East crown. I don't think the Bills improved a lot over the offseason. And so I think, and then on the flip side, as we talked about, I think the Browns have. I think they've added a lot. And even if it doesn't show up, in the best way it can right out of the gate in week one, I think the Browns will get into a zone where they're just winning a lot of games, maybe 12, 13 games. And they're going to be a team to deal with for sure. And I definitely see them, making a serious playoff run this year. And yeah, if it all goes good, it will be Chiefs-Browns in the AFC Championship. We'll see how it goes. But yeah, I definitely think the Browns will win the AFC North this year. And be one of the top seeds in the AFC.
Well, on that note, I think we have to wrap things up. I think Browns fans are certainly going to like to hear that. And Ron, if that does happen, we'll have to have you back on the podcast to preview that game, of course, too. But thank you so much, first of all, for coming on the show, for being a guest today. And before we sign off, let everybody know where they can follow your work on the Chiefs, because I'm sure Browns fans will want to be keeping a close eye on all that throughout the season.
Absolutely. No, I really appreciate you having me on Twitter. I'm at Ron_Kopp, K-O-P-P, right for arrowheadpride.com. We got tons of stuff going on all the time. I'll actually have a perspective from our side on you guys coming out tomorrow. Well, I guess it'll probably be out by the time this is out, but an opponent scout. I'm going to do that every week, with the upcoming opponent. Going to scout who we're playing, kind of see, where they could take advantage of the Chiefs, where the Chiefs might have an edge over them. And so, yeah, I'm there at arrowheadpride.com. Check it out. And yeah, I appreciate you having me on, man.
Well, I'll have to check out that opponent scout and see what you make of all the specific matchups. All right. That will do it for this episode of the podcast, Browns fans. This will be the last episode on this feed before the game. We'll be coming with a reaction podcast immediately after the game, after everything shakes out between the Browns and the Chiefs in this rematch from the playoffs last season. So I know I've been a little bit down on the Browns' chances throughout this podcast and throughout the offseason, but for those Browns fans listening out there, I'm just going to end the podcast with two words. Go Browns.